Welcome to another episode of White Power's Tales from the Secret Laundry. I'm here with Daisy Callagher.
Callagher, yeah.
You're doing great.
I'm doing great. She has come on today to tell her story. Now, obviously, I am going to confess, I've only just watched an episode of Below Deck. I don't know whether that's just because of my loyalty to the industry. I'm like, no, it has to be the real thing or nothing. So I binged watched a few episodes, and I have to say I was stressed from the get-go. It must have been a very interesting experience. But before we get there, how did you get into yachting?
My dad was actually a yachtie, as was my uncle up until very recently, and my aunties and uncles all did several seasons, and that's how my parents met. So my dad, when I started thinking about what to do next, he kind of put the industry in my mind, and this was quite a long time ago, so, you know, Instagram and things like that weren't really a thing.
They were sail yachts?
They were on motorboats, okay. but we come from a sailing family, but they did motorboats. This is back in the 80s, and my uncle up until recently on a motorboat, and honestly, I thought it was the Merchant Navy. Like, I did not understand it. This is when I was like 16, and I was like, this sounds horrific. I'm so not into this. So he's like, okay, well, what about hospitality? Because I knew I wanted to travel. And so I went and studied hotel management and got my degree in that in Ireland. And then I moved to London and worked in a hotel for 2 years, and I hated it. So after...
Why would you hate
me? I know. It seems so glamorous. And I was very poor, and I just didn't see a great trajectory. I was like, this is not what I want. So after a year, I went skiing with my dad, and he kind of put the idea back in my head. And at this stage, you know, social media was more accessible, and I was like, oh, that's not the Navy, and this seems way more like my vibe. So I did another year, which was in total 2 years, and at 25, or I just turned 25, and I went down to the south of France, and then got my first job on a super yacht. So
did you do the crew houses? Did you start?
I actually didn't do a crew house because I went to a small university, and you know, it's called the Shannon family. So we do years abroad in our second year. Mm-hmm. So we had girls who get placed in Cannes, and I never met them, but because of the Shannon family, I reached out to them and said, hey, can I come stay with you? And I mean, the apartment was the size of this room because it's hotel accommodation. So had the most fun 5 weeks of my life, and went out kind of end of May, the day after my birthday, so the 28th of May, and slept on the floor. Like, it was two single beds, like a kitchenette. I slept on the floor. And then I made friends with the Irish guys who worked in the Quays in Antibes. Yeah. So I stayed in Cannes. So I actually didn't do any day work.
What?
I know, I was what? So naughty. I partied so hard for 5 weeks. It was bad. And I didn't really hang around yachties. I hung around the hoteliers and then the bartenders from the Quays. And then I got my break from a sailboat, a 34-meter sailboat looking for a shoe.
I forgot about the Quays. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
That doesn't actually exist anymore.
Really? I haven't been down to Antibes in a long time.
It looks really glamorous down there.
Really? Like,
yeah, no. Okay. They've really cleaned it up.
Nice.
It's nothing like what we experienced.
Oh, I'll have to go down.
You will have to go down. So you didn't, do any of the, you just had a good time from the get-go?
I just had a good time. I didn't stay in a crew house. I didn't go, didn't dock walk. I didn't day work. I got lucky. And yeah, and then I started my career there. I was lucky because I think my CV stood out between my sailing background and the hospitality. So I kind of had a leg up in that stance. But yeah, I was one of the lucky ones who didn't have to do any of that grungy work. I just partied and got my job.
So do you remember what your first impression was? Like, you know, obviously, to be fair, it's probably quite amazing because you've literally partied and then ended up on a boat. But like, how did you feel? Can you remember when you got on the boat?
I don't really remember how I feel. What I do remember is I put on a lot of weight my first season, and I know that's it. I warn everyone going into this, the, you know, as their first shoe. Like, I'm like, Stewie bum is a real thing. I wow, I put on a lot of weight, like a lot of weight. And because I was like, oh, this is, because I never really thought about what I ate. And I had quite a physical job and the food was amazing. I remember my chef was incredible and just being
it's
like,
the trap.
What
it's,
is this?
It's like the ultimate trap because there's never a meal that you don't like.
No, and I was poor in London, so I never ate and saved all my money for vodka, and this was just amazing. I love food, so that was a real thing that I do remember. I don't really remember. I think learning, I remember being kind of overwhelmed with the etiquette of, like, you know, how you treat your cabin, how you treat the crew area. I think I remember being quite overwhelmed with that and how to fit in and how to be respectful and being like, oh, you don't do this. And, you know, my crew were great. It was a small boat, five. I was a sole stew. And my chef was kind of the chief stew because she ran it with her captain and they took basically greeny sole stews on. And so she was like my mentor and was like, you don't do this, you do this. And yeah, so a little, I remember being a little overwhelmed with that. And then
being tidy. Like, the thing is, like, a lot of it in the beginning is just the, you know, getting used to the routine. And then for me, it was just everything needs to be stowed. Everything needs to, I've never been so tidy in my life. Like, it's waned a little bit now I've left.
Yeah.
But like, everything needs to be put away, yeah, religiously. It changes how you move around.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I'm naturally a tidy person, so I don't even think, I'm not even sure I'd use the word tidy, just, yeah, that you have to put it away. It's not even just, you know, being respectful, it has to go away. And just learning the jargon and, you know, the washing area was, you know, in the, God, what do you call it now? It, like, bulk down, under the floor. I can't even think now because we are small sailboats, so everything was under the floor. Just seeing how everything fits in, just kind of just being overwhelmed with, you know, how it
organization
works. yeah it was an interesting experience. I wish I could remember it better because I think I did love it, and just, you know, I thrive in learning something new and that kind of experience. And I think, again, kind of, you know, I was just turned 25, partying pretty hard and kind of learning how to come back to the boat, like, quietly, all this kind of stuff.
Not kill yourself on the passerelle getting back.
Well, yeah, I fell down and we had a ladder down through a crew hatch, and yeah, I fell one night after drinking and was bedbound for 2 days. So that was a serious, I was very careful even up until this day, because I did think I slipped a disc or like I couldn't move. So that was, yeah, you know, the first summer is always a huge learning curve for the rest of your career.
It is a huge learning curve. So obviously you're on board, you're living your best life. So your first boat was,
it was a boat called Marflow. That was it was a beautiful sailboat, and that was a 34 meter sailboat. Yeah.
Did you go up higher, bigger from there?
Yeah, my next boat was a, what was she, like, 56 meter fed ship, a motorboat. I did that for a year, then a 40 meter motorboat, and then I went back to sail a 46 meter, 42 meters. So I kind of stayed there. Yeah.
No, quite. You, once you're in the industry for a while, you get the crew size that you know, you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I went as high as 16 crew.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I went back down. Like I said, we talked about this earlier, that I really felt comfortable in the four girls.
Yeah. Well, because you have enough to do. I think those huge interior teams, I'm like, oh my God, what do you do all day? But I think four is really nice. And I do wish I think a lot of people do this, stay in their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, I never progressed further than I could have. And I was talking to a captain that I worked with recently about the same thing. And, you know, I do regret that. And now I do encourage people in the yachting industry to push themselves. And I think 12 crew is a really nice number.
Yeah.
I think you have a bit of a family. It's not too big, not too small. So I regret not moving into that, but I was really happy in my boats, and that's, you know, really the most important thing. But yeah, I could have probably earned a bit more money, gotten rotation.
Yeah, it's all relative, you know. At the end of the day, it is a tough job, and you know, it is quite intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing with the smaller vessels and smaller crews, there is a bit of a, you know, it's either really good and you are family or it's hell.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there is no in between with it. You can't yeah. just like have a bit of an angst, you know, you and it just sits there. You have to deal with mm-hmm. whatever's going on. Otherwise, you all won't get on.
Yeah.
And then it won't work.
Definitely. No, I totally agree. And those, and the two main boats I spent my career on was a 42 meter and a 46 meter sailboats, which are pretty small. And I love them. I really did. I love the crew. I love the owners. Everything about it was amazing. So I completely agree. And if it didn't, yeah, you, it just wasn't going to work.
No, that's when you accidentally fire people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're messing up the vibe. Say goodbye. I wish you the best
luckily
of luck.
That wasn't me. I didn't get fired. Thank God I wasn't the asshole.
Do some firing. So right, so you're living your best life. How the hell did you end up on Below Deck?
Oh God. Well,
don't
I
tell me it was in a bar somewhere.
No, I did get told kind of my whole life I'd be good in TV. I have no filter. I'm very... the reality gold is when you are unapologetically yourself. And I didn't know that everyone wasn't like that. I was like, isn't everyone just... And I've learned that, no, we aren't all like that. So I have been told that kind of my whole life. And Below Deck often came up. I had no interest in doing it. Absolutely none. And I guess I will go as far as to say I was a yachty who I'm going to... probably might insult a few people. I was a little narrow-minded and said, like, you know, it's trash or, you know.
Oh, no, I was 100%.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I know I'm going to offend people, but I was that person as well. And obviously my mind has changed, my mindset has changed. And we did watch it. Our engineer loved it. And it was something we kind of bonded with him about. Again, it was a small boat and everyone's different, but he loved it. So we watched it. You know, to kind of bond with him, and we loved watching it, but I certainly didn't want to do it. And then COVID hit, and I actually had just left my boat to go on holiday, so they were crossing from Sri Lanka back to Europe. I went on holiday, landed in London, and the day I flew to Dublin is when we went into lockdown. I didn't think it would affect me, was, you know, obviously concerned, but was like, well, it doesn't really affect me, I'll go back to work. And then a week later I got told I'll be put on half pay or reduced pay or something.
You can get back to the boat.
Well, at this stage we didn't even know, actually, because the boat was still crossing. So the crossing was about four weeks maybe, so they were only a week into the crossing. We were a week into lockdown. I was one of the first people who heard, like, you know, you're getting... no one reacted quite as quickly as my owner did.
Right.
But he was in retail, he did, it was what it was, and I did lose my shit. I was like, what do you mean I'm getting a pay reduction? Then a week later, I find out that I lost my job. And I was like, well, I've been on this boat for 3 years, all my stuff was still on the boat, they were still crossing. I was like, I just couldn't even think straight. I was
You're
like,
chief stew at that point.
Yeah. And... I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. And I was living at my parents', I was 33, and it just continued. And I was like, what the hell? And I really struggled, I couldn't get out of bed. And kind of that transitional period was forced upon me. I'd already been thinking about how to leave the industry, but this was like immediate. And then to top my anxiety, crew agents, people around me were saying things like, oh, maybe you have to move back to Dublin. And I'm like, I haven't lived in Dublin in, you know, 15 years. I was like, I don't really have any friends here. This isn't my home. And they would just say it so flippantly. Like, it was just
easy.
Yeah, like, just get a job here. I'm like, you don't understand what you're saying to me. Crew agents were obviously like, we have no idea what the industry is going to transition like, do. You know, there's... So I just was the typical person I am and went into full-blown panic mode. And... yeah, I really wasn't getting out of bed. It was a small apartment we were living in. And then my captain and a good friend of mine said, like, why don't you do Below Deck? And I don't really remember my reaction, but I don't think I thought much about it. I was like, whatever. And then at this stage, I was like, I have nothing to lose.
No.
You know, and I think I was in the process of applying for... the Race Around the World thing as well. What's that reality show? I think it's Race Around the World.
Okay.
But I think...
Oh, like the one where they give them cash. And
Yeah, exactly. I think what I was looking for at that stage was just to get out of the house. I was like, anything. And I really wasn't far into lockdown at this stage. It was about 6 weeks.
You were already alone. So,
yeah, I really wasn't far in. And it was a long 6 weeks. And, you know, every day kind of overthinking everything. Couldn't sleep. Really struggling with it mentally. And I just wanted to get out. I just needed to get out of the house, learn something new. And it was great timing because I was looking for something out after yachting. So I've been in yachting now 8 years full time. So I applied, and then the next thing, 2 months later, I never thinking I'd get it. I got offered it and went through again a huge turmoil of, do I take it, do I not? I'm risking my career, my future. And then I was like, do you know what? I'm so desperate to try something new.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's how I ended up doing it.
COVID. You know, it's a circumstance, but you know, circumstance pushes you into maybe trying something new.
Yeah, definitely. I think if it hadn't have been for COVID, I don't probably think I would have tried it. Who knows? Maybe I would have, but that was definitely the catalyst that kind of pushed me into trying it.
I have to say, so I, like I said to you before, I watched a few episodes as an ex-crew member. I found it very stressful. As soon as you walked up, I remember like watching you like on the first episode, you walked up with the passerelle and obviously said hi to the captain. I'm like, she doesn't know the captain. Like, they've not spoken before she's walked up. I'm like, what? And then it obviously, you see that you don't, like, these girls are coming on, you don't know who's a mm-hmm. cook or whatever. I'm like, So nobody knows anybody, yeah. And then they're going to get you to do a trip after 26 hours. I'm like, right, okay. Well, that sounds pleasurable.
Actually, the first season was my favourite season. It's way more stressful now. But yeah, it was, you know, I guess parts of that are unrealistic about the show. That would never happen in the industry. Very rarely, unless someone broke their leg and you know that morning and you had to hire someone. But it was really stressful, but I do, you know, at the same time, it was this adrenaline. It wasn't like the stress I was feeling in COVID. That was stress that, you know, was really unpleasant. This was much more of an exciting adrenaline. It was stressful, but I would have picked that any day than the...
Is it a bit tongue-in-cheek? Because you're like, it's a TV show at the end of the day. It's not like... Did you feel like it wasn't your real job? It was something you would do.
No, I feel more like that now. At the time, initially, my first season, I took the stew role very seriously. But there's so much more to that role, being a cast member, than just being a stew. And now it's actually a lot more stressful because now I'm more of a TV personality and less of a stew. And it was easier when I was just a stew. It was easier when all I did was care about my job and no one knew me and... No one judged me, and I didn't have pressure to be a certain person. Yeah, whereas now I feel more pressure to live up to people's expectations rather than just concentrate on my job. But what does get me through the day is just remembering it is just a TV show. Like, this doesn't define me, this doesn't define my worth ethic or my personality. And so that's kind of what helps me. But at that first initial season,
It was just work.
Yeah, for me, all I cared about was my job. For me, it was a one and done. I had no intention of coming back for several seasons. I never thought I would. I never thought I'd be asked back. I just wanted to try something new and get out of that kind of COVID bubble and have a fun experience and just be a good stew. And now it's different.
Obviously, what it says, one of these questions that come up was like, obviously, it captures an intense moment on board. Obviously, obviously, some of it is, you know, it is just the day to day, but you do have personal moments in that. Did it ever feel kind of a bit uncomfortable? Or do you kind of, like, from a personal perspective, you do get to call the shots a little bit when you're like, you know, I'm crying, can you go away? Or does it have to be on camera?
No, it has to be on camera unless you're in the bathroom. So I have had, you know, I've had news where people have passed and I've, you know, gone to the bathroom and they won't follow you into the bathroom, especially if it's like...
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And they will text, you know, I've had producers text me being like, are you okay? Because I'm still mic'd up so they can hear me crying in the bathroom. And times when I've had fights, but I've never really had them come into the bathroom. But definitely if you're in a bedroom and it's something that they can use, they will. You know, I signed up for the show. I'm willing to give most of myself to the show. I don't think it's fair to yourself, to the viewers, to the producers, to come on the show and say, no, you can't, you know, start filtering yourself. And yeah. I've seen people do that on the show and it really, really grated me. It's not fair that I give my full self and you only share a filtered version.
Do you not think, as a viewer, you probably see through that anyway?
Yeah, well, they never get asked back. They, you know, whether you're a viewer or a producer, and I see it. I'm like, you know, you think you're getting asked back because you're showing a filtered version. Well, you're not, because, like you said, it's transparent. But that's frustrating. So, no, I try to give my all. I'm okay with it in the moment, but looking back, and I've had, as the seasons have progressed, I've gone through some, it's become a lot more personal and less about my work, which I think as stewardesses or anyone in an industry who's been there a while, you start being able to do your job with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
And you do start letting, I think, your personal and your personality maybe get more involved, whether it be with a boy or whether it be with conflict. And I do think the nice thing about starting a job is you are so focused on that. And yeah. I think through the seasons, I lost that a bit. And in yachting, I lost that a bit because I could do the job with my eyes closed. So as the seasons have progressed on the show, I've definitely had a lot more of my personality show and personal conflict and love triangles, and that's been really difficult to look back on and share with the world. That's not been easy.
A love triangle, like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it wasn't really, but that's what I got dubbed.
Well, relationships on board, I didn't really have many relationships on board. Not relationships, like friends kind of.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, because let's be honest, the industry before you go on Below Deck, it is a bit of a, you know, you can be a blank canvas out there. You know, you really do find out your authentic self because you know, nobody's expecting you to be anything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can be a bit wild.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been a wild experience, and luckily the person that I've witnessed in myself is the person I expected.
Nice.
But I do think other people don't have the same experience, and I think they've had, you know, this real looking glass at them and kind of gone, oh wow, I'm not the person I thought I was. And luckily I had a more positive experience, but it's still quite an experience. And you know, I have woken up going, thank God that I am the person I thought I was, because we all have perceptions of ourselves that sometimes aren't reality. So yeah, it's been interesting.
It's a bit of a journey. Right, so you're on Below Deck, you've done your first season. When did it kind of hit you that, oh, there's quite a few people watching this?
I think not for a while. I think the first time was really BravoCon, which I did 2 years ago, because we filmed our first few seasons in COVID. And because Bravo and the show really took off during COVID over in Europe. It was quite big in America, but worldwide it was during COVID. And I didn't realize how big it was. I thought it was America, and I thought it was yachties who knew about the show. And I stayed in that bubble for the first few years because I didn't do much press and no one really recognized me over here. And then I went to BravoCon in New York 2 years ago, and I was like, oh wow, like, this is insane. And since then the show's just gotten bigger, and now I often get recognized in the UK. In Ireland I'm getting a lot more press and recognition, really only in the last year, and now it's on Netflix. So yeah, it's just getting bigger and bigger. And then people are like messaging me from, like, I think one of my biggest Instagram audiences is somewhere like really random, it's somewhere like India or something, or wow. Yeah, so, and when I do press for the show, I have to say things like, hi Korea, thanks for watching Below Deck Sailing, and I'm like, are people watching this? They're like, hi Japan, and they're like, yeah, it's It's worldwide.
That's quite amazing.
Yeah, I get people on Instagram who message me in French, from the Seychelles, and from all over. So yeah, it's pretty big.
I've got a question here. So obviously with your crew dynamics and stuff, could you share anything behind this? Basically this means, like, did you want to fire anybody straight away? Because when you're like forced, like, because when I was watching it, I'm like, you didn't get to pick anybody. So in a normal environment, did you come across people where you're like, 100% you would never be on my boat if I ever had to choose?
Yes, I did. But I will say, with my personality, and I did say this before I went on the show when they casted me, I was like, I like to think of myself as a nice person, and I try. I'm not always nice, but I do try. I think it is one of the most important things we need in this world. And even though there were people that I, as we progressed in the show, kind of going, this person's a clown, why are they here? I am very much the kind of person who will encourage, and I will like encourage you to death and keep trying to get you there, and I don't want to see people fail, even if I don't like you or I don't think you deserve necessarily to be there. So for me, firing someone is a last resort, and I have never fired anyone on the show. I could. I've definitely
really?
Had that
power.
So I
thought you were kind of like stuck with them and they'd have to.
No. 1,000%. If I, you know, I haven't done it, so I'm sure there's times when either the captain or production possibly might try and encourage me to keep them there. But no, if I'm like, this person's a clown, and, you know, I'm on camera and I'm like, I need them gone. You know, they have to roll with that storyline. Like, I've said this, you know, I want them gone. But it's not my personality. I don't believe in that. I don't want anyone in the show to be humiliated. I don't think that's productive in any way.
So no one's been that annoying yet. Borderline.
It's been touch and go. I'm not going to say there haven't been tough conversations or there hasn't. Yes, I've been pushed to the limit. Yeah, and I do think if other people had been in my position, there were people who would have gotten fired quicker. But I am I'm like, we can
do this.
Like, come on.
I will connect with you on some level. I'm not really sure what that level is, but I will connect with you.
No, no matter how much of an arsehole you are, I don't want you to be humiliated on TV. But yeah, there's been some sticky situations.
So I would probably say you're quite easygoing. When you're handling negative situations like that, you know, optimistic.
Yeah,
some
definitely.
Some people you need to be optimistic about. One day, you'll be fine.
100%. I do like to think that I'm pretty relaxed, easygoing, and I've always been like that in the yachting industry. And I think that's probably why I would never have gotten up. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's why I would. I think that's why I stayed on kind of smaller sailboats.
Yeah.
I think I just didn't believe that I fit the persona of like a strict, and I don't. And maybe I would have thrived on a bigger motorboat, but I care more about, you know, the stews getting on than I do about things being meticulous.
Yeah.
So my boats were a lot more family orientated. They were a lot more about embracing a positive atmosphere than like the dust in the corner of the boat. It was all about experience, and that was much more my niche and where I thrived. I'm all about good times. I mean, I can be very negative, don't get me wrong, I'm Irish, but I really like getting on with people. I hate animosity. I believe in being a team. I'm not gonna boss you around.
But also, on a boat that size, you can't get away from it either, so it needs to be short-lived, because otherwise you're not gonna be able to survive. Can you give me one high and one low to kind of, you know, from your time on the show?
Oh God, okay, well a high, I'm gonna say just the experience. Just, there's no way I thought when I applied 4 years ago that I'd be sat here. Like, my life is wild at the moment. Super exciting, full of anxiety, but that's definitely be the high, just the opportunities and, yeah, just the experience. Every day is different. And the low, I think it's an... actually, I was going to go with the kind of trolling and stuff, but no, I'm gonna say actually more the anxiety of what's next. I think they go hand in hand. I think the high is that I don't know what's...
Do you get trolled?
Yeah.
What?
Actually, very little, thankfully. It can go through waves.
Really?
The majority is very little, but yeah, I had a period with the love triangle where I was already going through a very public breakup, and then also everyone weighing in on their opinions. And yeah, and then people...
I haven't got to that episode yet.
I'm sorry. Spoiler. And then, you know, the first season, the amount of times I got called a man because of my voice. I was like... And then I'd get Irish people being like, it's a South County Dublin accent. And I'm like, yeah, stick up for me. I get my nose. People love to troll my nose.
What's wrong with your nose?
I don't know. Now I already had a complex about it, and now I have an even bigger complex.
Since the ugly person online.
Yeah, exactly. The breakup, everyone had an opinion. Luckily, I really do think out of the trolling world, I get very little, but that's hard. But I think the highs and the lows go hand in hand. I think the positive for me, the biggest positive, is not knowing what's next. And then that's the most exciting part, but also that's the one that weighs in with the most anxiousness.
Terrifying.
Like, yeah, really. And more because I'm just like, you know, how do I pay the bills? How do I keep going on this trajectory? Like, I love my life. I love my job. But it could all end tomorrow, and that's quite scary.
So that leans into what we do at Your Pearls of Wisdom. Is, have you got an exit plan? So obviously you're not just leaving Yossi. Would you go back on Below Deck? What's your plan?
Well, the irony of this is just before we jumped on the podcast, is one of my biggest regrets is I didn't have an exit plan for leaving yachting, and now I don't have an exit plan for leaving Below Deck. You never learn. You think you're going to learn from your mistakes, and you don't. And I think, I would like to always think that I'll always be in the yachting industry in some capacity, whether it being an ambassador, an advocate, temping, whatever it is. I love the industry. I love what it gave me. And I would happily go back and temp. I'm open to that. I think the difficulty with me temping is it's so last minute. And because of the opportunities I'm being given are also very last minute,
they're going to clash.
They clash, and I pick the industry I'm in now because I would hope it's my future. That's the frustrating thing about that kind of temping world. It's just so last minute, it's hard to plan. But I have great relationships with my old owners, and you know, I've gone back over the years to temp with them. I've toyed with the idea of rotational, but I honestly think with my presence on Below Deck, I think I'd really struggle to get a job. And I also just think I'm just too far gone. I'm in very much in the media industry for the last 4 years, and I love all the new skills I've developed and everything I'm learning. So I think going back to rotational, I would really struggle, I think.
I think it's like, you know, it's the same comparable to, you know, going back to hotels after working on a yacht.
Yeah.
You know, you've not worked on a yacht for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from a Below Deck yacht to a normal yacht, you know, however nice the yacht is or the position, it's going to feel probably like a step backwards.
Yeah, and almost quite boring. Like, and I don't mean that rudely, but just for me, like, I have gone back and temped since doing the show, and I love it, and I love being able to do that. But the show is so much more than just stewardessing. You've got cameras, you've got politics, you've got PR, you've so much going on, and the adrenaline is unreal. And physically, it's the hardest boat I've ever worked on. You know, pulling 20 hours, it's crazy. But and I've gone back to doing a normal boat, and I'll even do like 16 hours a day, and I'm like, geez, this is easy. I'm like, you want a cocktail? I'm like, grand, sit right up, I'll get that for you. And it did feel very slow, even though they were tough charters, without having the camera crew and the pressures of knowing that it was going to be on TV. It did feel slow, and I was like, it's great for a couple of weeks here and there, but going back full time, like you said, or rotational even, I think it would just be too slow for me. And yeah, it's just changing. So I would hope to see my future always within the yachting industry, but definitely in a bit in a different capacity. But I mean, also, who knows, you know, girls gotta eat, so
girls gotta eat, but also, you know, age.
Yeah.
You know, age in the industry. So before we came on the podcast, we were talking about age, and you know, it, you very rarely used to see women in their 30s on board, you know, so back in the day. Obviously, I didn't join the industry until I was in my 30s. And we're talking, so I found it really late.
Yeah.
Managed to have like 5 years of fun. And then, and then they decided to become a grown up with no skills. Time's ticking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a very physical job. Although you're saying that obviously, so below deck is even up in the ante on that. But there will be a point where maybe it's got to change, you know, maybe not from necessarily so physically demanding, still, you know, stimulating and challenging, but not like 20-hour days.
I think the physicality, I actually really don't. I mean, it's really difficult, but I'm okay with that. I think the age thing is, I think most women will agree, it's just that. And I don't mind living out of a cabin. I don't need a huge room. But, you know, you're in your 30s. Like, I'm 37 next month. And I have stuff.
Stuff you don't want to get rid of.
Yeah, I've accumulated stuff. You know, when I was 25, I didn't have much. I was only on this earth for 25 years. Didn't really have any money. Didn't have much stuff. Now I'm 37. I've got money. And I got stuff that I like. And I've worked really hard for. And I want to keep that stuff. And suddenly the cabin's very, very small. And yeah, I want to have personal time, and I'm somebody who is very easy to share my space with, but yeah, I'm not 25 anymore, and I have earned the right to have my own space, and I think that for me is what's more important than even the physicality of the hours and things like that. It's just having that kind of independence and that privacy that I crave and that I've earned, really.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's tough for women who are kind of growing older.
Well, that was my plan, just buy a house. My plan didn't really extend much past that. I just want to buy a house. I didn't. I didn't manage to do it by the time I left. I failed miserably. But, you know, the exit strategy, what I've discovered after talking to a lot of ladies, really doesn't go past literally getting a property, creating a home, and then before you know it, you're kind of like being, not being pushed like that, you can stay on board. I've worked for a 40-year-old student. It wasn't a pleasant experience.
No,
there is a psychological joke. So technically, since I've started this, there is science behind it. We are, you know, our hormones start to change from the strike of 30. Apparently we get less pleasing. Like, we don't want to please as much, like, mm-hmm. on a hormonal level.
Wow.
Our body's already working.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And that the fact that you've discovered that there's science behind it, because I completely agree. I unfortunately think that there's not always a place for older women in the industry. I think it's great that there are so many, but yeah, they get bitter and they get,
well,
bitter's a strong word.
I would say we don't put up with as much shit.
Yeah,
So you're a twin, so for instance, so we've talked about some highly emotive things like sexual harassment on board and stuff like that. As a 25-year-old stew, dealing with chief stew, dealing with sexual harassment of a, you know, say for instance, one of your team, and being a 35-year-old stew, who's going to deal with that and literally put whoever in their place, get that dealt with? You know, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think as well with that, it's not even just being kind of, you're describing like somebody who's stronger and more confident, but also tired. At 25, you haven't experienced it as much. By 35, you're like, really? And I think why I relate to, I mean, no one dares to try sexually harass me because someone actually told me that. I was like, I've never been like, that's never happened to me. And they're like, Daisy, you're petrifying. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, good. But I was on the show, you get kind of comments when you've been doing it as long as I have, and they're like, oh, they're over it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you know what? I am over it. I'm over repeating myself. I'm sick to death of saying the same thing. the first season, you know, you try to, you're like, do this and do that. And you're like, oh, okay. And then by the fourth season, I'm like, can you just do what I said the first season? Why am I here still repeating myself? And I think that's very similar to what you're saying. Not only are you more confident and know what you're talking about, whether it be sexual harassment or speaking to your owner, your captain or your crew, but you're also just sick of repeating yourself.
Or being doubted. I mean, we're going to do an episode about power dynamics. So obviously within the industry, women are always, the power dynamics always not necessarily in our favor, because mm-hmm. obviously the industry is just full of women from 20 to, you know, maximum 40. Whereas a captain, you know, can get all the way up to 60 years old. Mm-hmm. And if you're a 25-year-old chief stew and your captain's 50 and you're like, well, that's not right, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're shouting at an old man. Mm-hmm. I'm married to an old man. He's really hard work, okay? You know, I love him to bits, but arguing with a 50-year-old man at my 40s is still challenging.
Yeah.
At 25, when you might have had, you know, 3 years in the season, and you're pointing out that something's not quite right, you're always at a disadvantage. Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is not across the board, but it really changed my perspective when we started looking at, you know, women are always going to be not on a back foot, but you're always going to be, it's always going to be slightly different.
Yeah,
our experience.
No, I think we can. I think you're right. I think, you know, generalization is a dangerous thing to do, but generalization exists. And it's safe to say, yes, as women, you know, we have a smaller voice, and you become louder, you become more annoying. You're just the naggy, annoying woman. You know, you're absolutely right. You are always on a back foot. And I think if you find the right man, they can embrace it and respect it, and they kind of like love a challenging woman. But a lot of men don't like it, and yeah, it's definitely age in the industry for females is an interesting topic for sure.
It is an interesting. Well, we're going to be doing it in more depth. Talking about romance, what do you think about romance on board? Should it be banned?
No, absolutely not.
Even when it goes really horribly wrong.
Well, you know, I'm a huge believer in personal life trumps work life, and I think if you can get a great balance, great, but you know, I would rather die feeling really loved than having a successful career. If I had to choose the two, I think being in love is a more superior experience than having a great career, in my opinion. I've definitely put my career first, because so, I'm petrified of love. But people have always asked me this, and you know, I let people hook up on the show and they're like, what? And I'm like, everyone I've ever dated or have had any sort of relationship with has been through work, or university, or in that, because already I have a common ground. I'm not the kind of girl who meets someone in a bar. It's just not me. I have much more bond with someone through, you know, that like, cliche of personality. But yeah, that laughing in the crew mess, laughing in the galley, kind of, and over months it's developed into something else. And I just, you know, even when it goes wrong, like, life is for living, and I that sort of control and power dynamic over someone's personal relationship, when you've already asked, oh, come live on the boat, work your ass off, do everything for them, oh, but we're also gonna take away your personal choice, like, come on. No,
to be honest, nobody listens anyway. I've told girls loads of times, don't sleep with that dickie.
I mean,
it's absolutely rancid.
Yeah. I mean, it's never a good idea.
He's definitely free.
Yeah.
You're sure you want to.
Never a good idea. And obviously you're there to encourage, you know, to make right decisions. But when you're talking about banning and things like that, no. I definitely don't encourage it, and be smart about those decisions. It's not fun when it goes wrong for anyone, mainly for yourself.
Don't screw the crew. That's what everybody says, but...
I mean, every situation has turned horrific for me, including the one that went streaming to 200 million people or 20 million people. But no, life is for making those experiences. I couldn't imagine having that sort of control over someone. I don't think it's right.
No. And it, like I said, it doesn't work. You know, I've tried all sorts of things to try and convince. Just don't. Okay. Are you guys 2 weeks later, are you okay? No.
I mean, the moral of the story here is men don't be arseholes.
Well, girls can break hearts too, that's to be true. Fair, they can. I mean, yeah, you know, it's close quarters, you know, close quarters. So basically we've surmised that you don't have a plan.
No, I don't have a plan.
You're becoming accustomed to life on land a little bit right now, maybe the new guys. Are you going to go back and do it another season? Are you thinking about it or not?
If they ask me back at the moment, yes. It's given me huge opportunities. It's definitely a lot harder at this stage. Like I said, the pressures of me being a TV personality is a lot different to 4 years ago. 4 years ago is nobody expected anything. Now I'm like, oh, like they just think they know you, and that's, you know, that's hard. You don't want to let anyone down, including people who watch. But it's given me amazing opportunities, and I don't feel quite done with it, but that's up to Bravo. That's so out of my control.
I don't know whether I've got it in me to watch a different series. Like, yeah. my best friend is obsessed. She's watched everything. Every single one. She doesn't work on yachts, and she's watched every single one. And every time we get together, we have a glass of wine. She's like, do they really do this? I'm like, oh, go away. Go away. So where are you based now? You're based in London.
I'm based in London, and I am really lucky. I have to say my transition has honestly been great. What I'm so lucky with as well is I still get to travel so much, just in a different capacity. So I spend about 6 months of the year away, which is way more than I thought it was going to be. And actually, I'm so grateful for that, because I don't think I'm ready to live anywhere full time, especially in the UK. I think I would struggle. I really struggle this winter with the weather. So I'm kind of, I don't know how, my mom always says it, she's like, you land on your feet. So kind of magically still get to travel as much, but now I just go on planes and stay in hotels and not in boats.
Awful. It sounds terrible.
I know.
Really, I did see the photos of you in Vegas. Awful.
I know. Awful. I mean, those 2 weeks were just incredible. And so I'm mainly in London, but I still get to travel a lot. So I'm still trying to keep this trajectory going. I haven't planned how I'm going to do it. But yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. You know, obviously you've seen the industry from internally, and then I would probably argue to say the Below Deck is an external view of what the industry is. Have you seen, in your perspective, do you think we're talking about positive changes? What you're encouraged by that since you started from the very beginning has been definitely a positive step in the right direction for the industry?
I think positive things are things like discussions of mental health. I think things like this is really positive, that there, you know, the community, I think, is getting stronger. Whereas before it was kind of this influx of maybe people just coming into the industry and leaving, whereas now it's, yeah, definitely more of a community. I think positively, I think women being able to have more of a career older, it's not as frowned upon if you're 35. Yeah. I think that's great. You know, definitely when I joined at 25, it was like, what, you're 35 and you're still in yachting, whereas now that's the most normal thing, which I think is great. I think women have more of a voice. I felt more respected as, you know, my career progressed in yachting. I think there's some of the positives.
Yeah. The mental health for the industry is a big is a big change.
Yeah.
You know, just to recognise that the job is tough. And it's not very friendly. If you are suffering, it's not necessarily the most friendly industry to suffer in.
No,
because you know, to admit that you're struggling could, you know, we all know people that get sent home and then they get the phone call when they're at home going, you know what, you know, we've sorted it out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they don't want to admit that they're having a hard time on board.
Yeah, and I've had situations, even, you know, when I've kind of left the industry, people messaging me that, you know, people I've worked with, whether they've had a crew member suffering with mental health or some sort of eating disorder, and they're like, how would you deal with this? I need help. And unfortunately, the real attitude, not because they're bad people, but just because they didn't know how to deal with it, was really put their head in the sand. They're like, we don't know how to deal with this. We're just going to ignore the problem. Whereas we're you know, you're their family. It is your problem. And, you know, I did the first aid mental health course with Seize the Mind.
Oh, amazing.
And it was amazing. I loved it, and really tough couple of days. And I thought it was brilliant. I really thought, you know, and I know they're pushing to get it, you know, mandatory.
Into the SCCW.
Yeah. And I think it should. I think just even for a captain, especially, because I think, generalising, most women are in tune with things like anxiety, eating disorders, are at least aware of the words, if not experienced it. But I think men, again, not always, but most men are like, what is anxiety? I don't know how to deal with an eating disorder. I don't know how to deal with depression. They're so scared of it. And it's, again, it's not because they're bad people. They just don't understand it. So I even think being able to do that first aid course and just being familiar, you know, not being an expert, but just being familiar. So those words, they're not overwhelmed with it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we can deal with this, or we know who to go to help you. So I think that kind of movement is amazing and really important for the industry.
Recognizing it. I mean, the one of the things that will probably always be a bit of a sticking point, which I imagine is, you know, it's a tight ship. And, you know, imagine for instance, you've twisted your knee or whatever. Your girls can cope for a little while if you're not fully functional, but it's not a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you increase their workload, they're not going to be able to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in some respects, the industry is not very forgiving, not because it doesn't care, but the way it functions doesn't really leave a lot of wiggle room. You know, you don't want to get out of bed today because you're really upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you should have time to go and decompress, but you can't. You're on charter. There is nowhere for you to go. You can't. There are no sick days, you know.
I think that's an interesting kind of angle, and I think it's a topic you could dive into for hours. I am a millennial. I am a hard worker, and I agree, in yachting there are no sick days. I do think resilience in yachting is very important, but I also think in life, I think resilience, and I think there's room to be depressed or sad or anxious, and that absolutely there's room there. But do you get to stay in bed? I don't know, and I don't even know if it's right. You know, and I know in the corporate world you have mental health sick days. I am a bit old school, and I am a kind of a believer that you should be able to go to work. Now, should you be able to have someone to talk to and to understand and that I believe in 100%, and that's where I think that's great, that movement. I've often spoken to my captains, and they were amazing when I've been going through a tough time. But would I have ever taken a day off for it? Like, work is work.
And I think, you know,
a surgeon doesn't get to take a day off.
No.
And, you know, if a pilot's midair, I certainly hope they won't be like, nah, yeah. I'm feeling really sad.
I'm just going to cry in the bathroom.
Yeah.
On the plane on your own.
I am a bit old school that I believe the same in yachting. I think we're there to do a job, and I think if we take too much time out for things, where is that going to stop?
Yeah.
And so there's a balance there to be had.
Resilience is a really interesting word, and being aware of what work and powering through could help. You know,
mm-hmm.
you aren't feeling great, but if you keep your head down and keep going, it could turn out well. But it's probably a full episode on like what it is.
And
but I, you know, same generation as yourself, you know, you just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to pay the bills at the end of the day. There is, I suppose, in that respect, I've never been pushed to the finite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think certain things, especially substance abuse, eating disorders. I mean, even an eating disorder, you could keep working.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Whether you should or not, you could keep working. Yeah. Substance abuse is slightly different, because if it does get out of control, mm-hmm. then you're on charter and it's a bit of a mess. So at least everybody's talking about it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, everything's circumstantial. And I think there have been times when, you know, I've had stewardesses who are really upset or whatever it is. And I'm like, and we're flat out, and I'm like, take 10 minutes. You know, it's about managing a situation, yeah. And it's not going to be this book saying, if you're depressed, let them have, you know, a day off. And that's, you know, I guess where the corporate world is a bit more black and white. Like, you get 5 mental health days, which is hilarious, or whatever it is. Like, I'll need to look up on it, but they get a certain amount of mental health days in a year. And I love that there's...
So those random sick days that we used to take, yeah. Apparently they're okay now.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel guilty anymore.
This is it. So I think being a good chief steward, but good captain, is about recognising those moments where, you know, that person's cocktail can wait, this person needs 10 minutes, but that person also needs to realize sitting in bed isn't going to help them.
No.
Taking 10 minutes to decompress and compose, or whatever it is, an hour, every situation is different, but yeah, being resilient and life has to go on, and we need everyone to do their a farmer never takes a day off.
No.
Like,
no, it's, you know, but life is tough.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
you know, most of the time it is really, really hard. You know,
don't get me started on that. My favorite thing to do is look at the stars, going, "Why are we here? What's the point?"
I'm not really sure, but you know, we'll keep going.
We'll keep going. It's
there's
probably
some roses somewhere that will help us with that question. I have actually been considering bringing a bottle of Whispering Angels every podcast episode, but some of them, you know, we started at 11 o'clock in the morning, but I am a yachtie, so that's doable.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's 5 o'clock
somewhere.
So obviously at the end, towards the end of each podcast, I say, can you give 3 pieces of advice to a new for a crew member about their life in yachting? But I'm going to make yours reality TV. So
okay. What
are your 3, if somebody's thinking, because I'm pretty sure I saw an advert for one of the next seasons of Below Deck in the crew ether, what is the 3 pieces of advice you would give if somebody was like, I want to go on Below Deck?
I think being realistic, I think a lot of people come onto it expecting to be an overnight influencer and it's going to change their life. It won't. My life only slightly changed in the last year. It won't, and that's really hard to watch. Not easy to watch these kind of really young people coming in and being like 22 and being like, I'm going to be an influencer, and nothing comes of it. So definitely be prepared for that. I think also, you know, not trying to filter yourself. You need to come in and be strong and be confident in who you are. That's also tough to watch, especially with the younger people. I was very lucky when I did it. I was 33 and I'm quite secure in who I was, relatively. But these younger people, I'm like, ooh, this is not easy to watch.
But that's what they want on the show, isn't it? It's like a slow car crash.
Definitely. But I think if you're a car crash and you're okay with it, that's easier to watch. You don't have to be perfect, but you need to be comfortable with who you are. So being that car crash and going, you know what, I'm not perfect, but when they have to watch themselves back and they're not happy with that, that's so being secure in yourself and not expecting to be, being realistic about what the opportunity you've been given. And I would say as well, if you are looking to get into the industry to be a yachtie, don't start with Below Deck. End your yachting career with Below Deck. Don't start your yachting career with Below Deck. You can, but not the best idea.
I can't imagine. Well, I think, to be honest, like, so obviously I was of the opinion of, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I feel like I'm betraying the crew on board if I watch this. So thank you for bringing it into my life. But I do think I'm being a bit, like, now on reflection, it's just a bit melodramatic about it. And, you know, with all the talk of, like, if you go on there, your career will be ruined forever. I'm like, that's not actually how the yachting industry works. You know, you can get a job. If you really want to work on board and you are passionate, whether you've been on Below Deck or not, and you're good at your job and you're nice to be around, you'll get on board.
Absolutely. And I think it's really great how it's changed, and I'm a huge, like, I'm a person who can put up my hands and say I was wrong, and I was that person who was, I watched a show because we all did in the crew mess, but very much did that whole, like, oh, you'd ruin your career or whatever. You absolutely won't ruin your career, and it's just an experience, it's a bit of fun, and it, you know, it doesn't define the yachting industry. I am lucky that I've changed a lot of people's minds, whether people have worked with me and they would still work with me. And they're like, Daisy's a great worker. I was a great chief. She was a great crew member. And just because I did reality TV, because it was an opportunity that was right for me. It doesn't, you know, change the yachting industry or anyone's experience. And you're right, it's people kind of get into their narrow-mindedness. And it does frustrate me when I see comments, you know, on below or on Facebook forums just being nasty. And it's like, this is a huge production that makes so many people happy. It's just a bit of TV.
It's just a bit of TV, but you can be... You cannot be on Below Deck and be an arsehole.
Oh, 100%. You know, right?
They're just assuming that everybody that goes on it is, you know, is a drama queen and wants attention and all that kind of stuff. So I take it all back.
Yeah. No, but I think a lot of people are the same as you and I and are able to change our minds and say, and, you know, that's what makes us human.
There's some painful moments, like...
Look, trust me, I live them. There definitely is.
There's one where they like they back into the dock. Like, honestly, I look like, oh
yeah, yeah. I was like, is this real life? Yeah, apparently it is.
They literally mangled the back of the boat. That's you know, I was just like, okay, that's
I've had more wild experiences on Below Deck than I have in my own career. But yeah, it's great, and if you want to do the show, and if you don't want to hire someone doing the show, that's fine. But I think when people start getting on the internet being like, you know, blah blah blah, I'm like, oh, just give it a break. I'm like, just concentrate on your own crew, because you probably have bigger problems there.
Like I said, you know, it did take me back. Like, it took me back to being on board, you know, like running down in the crew mess, and, you know, I literally could step into it, but then I did get really stressed out when, like, you know, when things were going wrong and things ended up breaking and, like, you know, like, oh, we're going to be underway in 2 minutes, and, like, you've got to stress out. I'm like, well, that's an argument later on, isn't it?
Well, what's actually really interesting is I did think a lot of people when I did the show would be like, oh, you know, what's Daisy kind of lowered herself to or succumbed to? And the overwhelming amount of support from family to friends to crew members was actually quite insane. I really thought people were going to be like, what are you doing? Whereas everyone was like, go for it. And not only that, but the amount of people who've reached out to me since I've done the show, who I considered very capable, amazing yachties, like incredible chefs I've worked with. And stewardesses, mainly chefs, who've reached out to me saying, hey, I've considered applying, what do you think? From deckhands to chefs to stewardesses, I'm really taken aback by it, and I think they've seen the opportunities it's given me and to other people, and like you said, thinking about their exit strategy, you know, they're in their 30s.
What else can you do?
It's giving, you know, a platform to people who want to do things, who are capable of doing things. So I've really been surprised at how many people are really changing their mind about the show and for a more positive reason.
Don't take it too seriously, basically. Yeah. You have some really interesting guests as well.
It's been an experience.
But just before, 5 years' time, where are you going to be in 5 years?
God,
I would like, I think the
thing that I've learned from Below Deck is say yes. So I'm on a huge yes trajectory, and what's hard about the exit strategy for me from Below Deck is everything is changing so much that I am kind of leaving it a little bit up to the gods, but saying yes to everything.
Yep.
I've gone a long way in the last 4 years. So the next 4 years, I'm really pushing the TV personality thing. I really enjoy it. I'm quite good at it. I'm very comfortable in front of the camera. How that's going to look, I'm not sure. But yeah, definitely a career in media would be really nice. But we'll see. So I'm putting it out there, but...
Of the yachting industry. You know, you can do those really exciting articles about what boat's being built.
Amazing.
Really exciting.
So we'll see. Yeah, maybe have a house. That would be nice.
House, babies, marriage.
I would like a baby. Marriage, I'm open to it, but yeah, a baby would be nice. And in 5 years, I'll be almost 42. Definitely thinking about it at 42 anyway. I'm not ready.
42?
Yeah, I am.
That's a gamble.
I know. Well, I did just freeze my eggs. I'm about to do another cycle. And I've never wanted a baby until I was 40, at least.
Really?
So, yeah. Well, my mum had me at 40 and my sister at 43. So it was something I always knew. I just never kind of knew. I never wanted children in my 30s. So it all feels like it might work out the way it's supposed to. But yeah, I'd like a baby.
Aww.
But not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. Not anytime soon. I can, you know, use all my umbrella today. Use all my umbrella. Right, so to finish, we ask each guest, tell us your craziest story. One of your, well, you've got loads.
I know.
Is there a crazy story you would like to tell us?
Oh, this, I find this hard because I get asked this a lot when I do interviews. I don't really have any crazy stories. I think they are just generally all crazy. I think doing reality TV in itself was pretty crazy. Serving dinner with four cameras in your face is quite intense.
It's not relaxing, like, as a guest.
You'd be surprised how much they zone out. You really would be. Like, I mean, how much you notice these?
I try to ignore them.
You'd be surprised how quick, and when alcohol's involved, they really forget the cameras are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just the being on board, we dragged anchor badly. That had never happened to me
before.
Where were we? We were in Mahon, I think. Just off Mahon, that was really crazy. The deckhand didn't think he had to work and didn't do his anchor watch properly. And the wind picked up bad. That was really crazy. That was...
Do you get close to the...
We like ran bank. Thankfully, it was a sand bank. And we were dragging badly ashore. It was really quite hectic. That was wild. Crashing the dock was wild.
Crashing the dock, like, literally.
I've never had that before.
That wasn't slow either. Like, that was a full like, I'm like, somebody's gonna get fired for that. You know, because obviously once you work on board, you're like, oh, that's gonna be like at least 200 grand to sort that out. Like, it's not cheap to,
no,
like,
it's,
and that's not a crash, and your brain's like, can they open the LAS anymore? That's gonna be
We made it through it. Look, what we have pushed through on that boat is incredible.
I'm surprised it's still it doesn't sink.
Yeah, it's actually a way better condition from when I first joined that boat. Like, all these crashes and stuff, it's a great boat now.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I think just the experience of below deck has been wild enough in itself.
Every episode's a bit like bonkers. I suppose it is quite difficult to narrow down what is the most bonkers moment, but who knows, there could be a whole other season.
Yeah, well, that's
up in the ante again. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Maybe we'll get you back home when you've got an exit strategy.
Yeah, for sure. Have me
when you've worked out. The thing is, you know, obviously as females, it's, you know, it's an all-encompassing industry. To then have to go and reinvent yourself all over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said many times, to get in is the easy bit. The getting out is...
I completely agree with you.
It's a complicated affair. And that's why we've started Holes of Wisdom, the community.
Even, you know, with you were saying that you were started yachting a bit later in your 30s, I actually think the yachting industry is more embracing of women in their 30s than the real world is.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we were saying, starting an industry, it really is like ageism is a problem. You're competing with 20-year-olds and coming in at 35, 36 into the industry. And in the real world, you pivot, whereas going from yachting... But it's just two different worlds.
It is, you know, what we are hoping, that all the support that we've got, you know, my dream is that when they step off, you're going to something even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
yeah.
Obviously after speaking to hundreds of ex-crew members now, it's so hard
mm-hmm.
because there is no support, there is no indication. And even to a point, an individual like yourself, like, what can I do?
Yeah.
And you can do anything, which even makes it even worse.
You're like, I can
do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I've got to work out where I'm going to live.
Still trying to figure out.
You know, what job
me.
I'm going to do, where I'm going to live. I'm going to have a baby. Might do a house renovation at the same. Like, all of these things
totally
are all,
agree.
You know, all at the same time. But we are here to help. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please join us again for the next one. Thank you so much, Daisy. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome.